Barbara, how much does healing have to do with, or keeping your healing have to do with you praising the Lord and being thankful for what he's done for you?
It has almost everything to do with it, because God loves a cheerful person. He loves a person full of joy. He actually lives in our praises. So when you have a person that is happy, that is has a feeling of being blessed all the time, you have a person that's probably going to have divine health. And this person is going to be so full of joy, and that's where God lives. He inhabits the praises of his people. I believe that's Psalm 23:3. It's or 22:3. It says he inhabits the praises of his people. Wouldn't you love to have God overjoyed and delighted with living within you because you are full of praise and worship? Oh, I'll tell you, Darren, that is one of the most wonderful things that God can bring to a human being, is his praise and how we can speak it forth back to him. See, God is the one that gives us the praise when we are open and willing vessels, but then it goes back to him. And he loves our praise. And it says, I'd like to give one scripture where without praise, we are given over to the enemy. And that's in healing also. If you aren't grateful and truly thankful for healing that God has given to you, this is what may happen to you. It says in Deuteronomy 28:47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a grateful heart or a thankful heart for the abundance of all things. And that means your healing also. Therefore, you will serve your enemies. That doesn't mean that God has thrown you back to your enemies. It means that you have opened a door for Satan to move in and to begin to badger you and fill you with lots of thoughts like you were just talking about, Darren. Oh, I've got cancer. Oh, it's come back. Oh, da 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 da. And on, your mouth starts moving in a negative way instead of in a positive way.
You know, Barbara, many people have, you know, they come to us with a situation or a condition or an infirmity. And if I could have followed them around before they came to us for prayer, I would find that their words were very negative, their words were condemning, and they don't even know that.
That's right.
So that would tell me this, and should tell you also, that after you get healed, you're going to have to change your ways. You're going to have to really put a watch over your mouth and ask God to remind you every time you say something negative or that's counterproductive or that's against the word. In other words, you're going to have a renewed mind. The only process I know, and even with a professional background in education, I know this from public education, that if you're going to get a person turned around, well, for example, let's take the times tables. You probably learned those in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, or you should have. Mm-hmm. If you didn't learn those, now you're probably deficient in math. It might be a little hard to handle some of the math that's thrown at you. Well, over here in the Word, you need to memorize the Word of God when it comes to healing. Put that down there in your heart so you begin to renew your mind in the spirit of the Word. That's Romans 12:2. Yes. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, once you do that, and it's going to take, I'll tell you, after your healing, it's going to take a little bit of time to be congruent to where you think healing, believe healing. Your automatic response is healing and not sickness. Your automatic response is faith and not doubt, fear, and unbelief. And that comes by putting the Word of God faithfully in your heart. And we teach a process that works. 7 times in the morning, 7 times at noon, 7 times at night, a minimum. Now, as you get this, you'll wake up in the night and the Word of God will start rolling around in your mind. You'll be meditating the Word of God instead of meditating fear. And that's the key to keeping your miracle.
That's right. It says also in Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. In Proverbs 15:13-15, it says, a cheerful heart has a continual feast. That means if you are cheerful of heart, God just continues to pour good things on you. David in Psalm 103 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Now, see, Satan wants you to forget all of God's benefits and to lose what you have gained, the ground that you've gained. But here in Psalm 103, he says, forget not any of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And as you begin to praise him and worship him and become joyful over your situation, I believe God is going to give you such a spirit of joy and healing that your body cannot handle any disease or illness anymore. When we have a joyful body, there is no place for illness or disease to take hold. And I believe joy and thanksgiving, Darren, are the little thing that caps it all on, that puts the cap right on the top. I mean, that keeps our body from going back into what the devil would like to see again, disease and illness and actually regressing instead of progressing in the spirit.
Now, you just gave us another key, Barb, in Psalm 103, verse 3. Who pardons all your iniquities and heals all your diseases mm-hmm. and redeems your life from the pit. That's verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
But see, he's putting it together. There's a real connection here between sickness and sin.
Yes.
Now, let me say this to you, folks. After you've received your miracle, you may be tempted because your mind is not yet renewed. And catch what I'm saying here. You may fall back into a habit pattern and get into fear, get into doubt, get into unbelief. Oh, it didn't work. Oh, God doesn't love me. I'm an exception. You're not an exception. God treats us all the same. He gives us 24 hours a day, a Bible, the name of Jesus. We can all watch this thing work for us, but we've got to cooperate with it. So if you stumble, and most of us will, and most of us, and I'm going to say this, I believe everyone has, and you realize, oh, Jesus, I denied the healing. I denied your power. I got over into fear, and I started doubting, and I started getting into unbelief. Stop right then and say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me because I sinned. I got into fear, doubt, and unbelief. That is not just a bad practice. That's sin. Mm-hmm. And accept your forgiveness and go back and start speaking the scriptures and say, Lord, I am sorry. I gave a symptom more power over my life than your word. I've said this symptom has more power than your word, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Lord, and start speaking that again and saying, I believe the word of God is true and I'm going to go with it.
That's right. And Darren, one of the things I have to really watch for is when I'm expecting a healing, either in my body or something supernatural in the physical, that I need to be around people that are continually pumping me up with faith and not with negative words. And in the New Testament, I had done a little study about how many times Jesus talked to people, don't go back there, or don't go back to your old associations, or see that you don't tell anybody about
That's
this
right.
healing. Because if they told people, the people would go, you aren't healed. You look the same. I mean, Jesus doesn't do that nowadays, and you will get so full of negative thoughts, it will reverse that healing. And one instance is in Matthew 9, 28 through 30, and Jesus, two blind men had come to him crying out, have mercy on us, son of David. And after he had come into the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, they had the faith. He says, be it done according to your faith. Then, after their eyes were opened and they could see, Jesus gave them one more word of advice, and they said, he said, see here, let no one know about this. Why, Darren, why did he say that? Because they were surrounded with unbelief
That's right.
as a usual activity.
You know, I've seen him say something like this. Well, you self-righteous so-and-so, what makes you think you're such a hot dog? You can get healed. I didn't get healed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pounce on this person, and they're
yes.
going to try to rip the healing right out of them.
That's right.
I've seen that
happen.
And they
do.
And they do that.
They do.
And I'll tell you, unbelief is sown by words. You have to get away from people like that, particularly if it's family members. I wouldn't even share it with them. I'm serious. Don't cast your pearls before swine. And that's a biblical concept. In other words, some people are just not going to believe that you got a healing. They don't believe God does that today. They've been losing on a regular basis. And if you win, it's going to bring conviction to their life. And they're going to make real sure that you don't win because they're going to get you down and try to reason it right out of you. And I've seen that happen. I prayed for a woman one time that was almost blind. And she had lost her sight due to child abuse. I prayed for her. She went back to her church and shared. In fact, I handed her a Bible. I said, could you read this?
Mm.
She read her Bible to me. She could see her Bible. She was so overjoyed. She went back to this church, and this church says, God doesn't heal today. And they reasoned their healing right out of her life.
Wow.
And I could do a 10-tape series. I could do 10 messages on where I've seen great absolute horrendous wrecks in the body of Christ because people talk